It's the 3 o'clock hour of the DGS. John Hancock sitting in for Dave. Rachel's out of town. Kevin's out of town. And Andrew and I are holding down the fort today. The whole gang will be back together on Monday. Well, I can't let the final segment with Michael Kelly go unresponded to. He alluded to my tendency to, even though I am a possessor of the Orienteering Merit Badge from the Boy Scouts of America,
very
my
nice.
Sense of direction
as am I.
Is not so good. And we were supposed to speak at the Charles F. Knight Center at Washington University at a breakfast meeting earlier this week. And usually when we have these things, I go and I'll call Michael and he'll come out so that I know where I'm supposed to
be.
Yeah,
he'll wave his arms big and
yeah,
he can say
yeah. So I'm driving down there and I get, yes, they sent a map. Yes, they sent instruction. But I got the GPS in the car.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So she's talking me through the whole thing, you know, and you turn left here, and I did, and I'm on McCausland Avenue right there, which apparently becomes Skinker at some point. That's enough to throw you off right there. You know?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
She says, make the next left. All right, I said. That looks like the campus to me.
Yeah, you're seeing the big buildings.
They're right there, and they all look alike, those buildings.
Yeah.
So I turn into what was just a gorgeous entryway. Mm-hmm. I mean, with bricks, a little planter box there. A little hard to figure out where to go in, but I went to the right of the thing, and I'm driving on this thing, and I'm looking around. I'm the only car on this thing. I thought, well, it's early, you know.
Curious? Yeah, sure.
And then I come to a little, like a T turn, a right hand turn that's a T, and it's very narrow. And I'm thinking, huh. And then I see people riding bikes around. I'm on a bike path, Andrew, with my car. And so I make the T-turn to the right, figuring at some point I'm just going to dump into a parking lot, isn't it? No, it's a bike path and a walking path. So these bikers are all looking at me, and I'm the only car on this sucker. And then there's a lady walking towards me, and it's very tight. There's only just barely enough room for the car to fit through there.
So you barreled right through her.
So I rolled the window down, and I said, excuse me, ma'am. I'm not supposed to be here, am I? She said, no, this is a bike and walking path. I said, oh. I said, well, do you know where the Charles F. Knight? Yes, you've got to go back. I said, well, how do I turn around? You know, because there's no. So, may have gone on the grass a little bit. And so I got it, but I finally found my way and I made my speech. So that was all good. What's on your mind there, big boy?
When I was in high school, I decided I would go out for a drive up the Great Grafton River.
Oh, yeah,
Road.
The Piassaw Bird.
Mm hmm. Straight past the Piassaw Bird, and I'm going up the River Road. And I see this very interesting-looking path up into the hills.
Ooh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I'm in my car, and I see the road leading right up to that path, and I think, well, what a lovely place. Maybe I'll take my car up through the dirt
Just
road.
Just drive it right there. You got the four wheels.
Up into the hills. Turns out it was a walking path that narrowed very quickly.
Ooh.
And so before I knew it, I had a Hyundai Accent, 1993, I think.
Yeah.
They call it the Easter egg because it was extremely small.
Oh, I remember those. Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Even the Easter egg was a bit too big for the walking path.
Uh-oh.
And I ended up sideways on the walking path in the middle of the woods.
And there are trees all around, I would imagine.
The trees everywhere. And so I'm sideways, like, pointing face up.
So how'd you get out?
Well, I was understandably loath to inform my parents of the situation.
Yeah, and of course.
So I went knocking on doors. Until I located somebody with a pickup truck.
And they pulled
and
you
they
out.
Were able to, stretch the winch far enough, the thing, that they could connect it and pull me out.
I tell you what, man, it's a scary world out there. There's no question about it. And I, you know, aside from having a really bad sense of direction, I also cannot drive. And so I've got this narrow little driveway, and I can't back up.
Yeah.
Straight. I mean, it's just, you know, bushes dying, the rock walls being hit. I mean, it's not good. It's just not good. It's not good. All right. What's happening in the world of fast food, Andrew? A subject near and dear to both of our hearts.
Can I add an addendum to my story?
Oh, please do.
So I went home and I washed it off with a hose, all the dirt and mud and stuff.
Good job.
And my parents never found out about it I told the story on the air years and years later.
Oh.
And some neighbors of ours were listening and heard it and, like, mentioned it to my dad while he was out on a walk.
Oh.
If they're listening, hello, that's very, very funny.
Yeah, thanks for doing that.
Definitely continue to tell my dad everything that I say. I think it's very, now I think it's funny when he finds out that way. I think it's very funny and makes me laugh.
That is good.
Are you a Starbucks fan, John?
I have been.
New pecan crunch oat milk latte and salted pecan cream cold foam.
Ooh,
for fall.
Interesting. No pumpkin.
Very much pumpkin. Very much pumpkin still, but they're adding a little extra new stuff.
Hmm. I like pecans.
Combines the brand's soft and balanced blonde espresso roast with creamy oat milk, rich brown buttery notes, nutty flavors of pecan, and holiday baking spices.
Oat milk, is that good for you?
I think it is.
Okay.
Well, I've drank oat milk quite a few times. It's
better
fine.
Than goat milk. The oat milk, I don't like the goat milk, but I like the oat. Oh, it's hard to say.
Yeah.
Oat milk.
Yeah. I've never had goat milk. Have you had goat milk?
Just once.
Mm.
Yeah.
It's hard to catch those things, you know.
Yeah, no, it's not good.
Yeah. Taco Bell's Big Cheez-It. That is available by the way.
Okay, bring me some Taco Bell.
You've seen this Big Cheez-It, right?
The cheesy gordita?
No, it's the giant. It's a giant Cheez-It, and then they build the meal on top of the enormous Cheez-It.
No. Giant Cheez-It.
Mm-hmm. A tostada and a Crunchwrap Supreme built upon a great big Cheez-It.
Wow.
And those are, interestingly enough, those are now available starting today.
Yeah.
You can get them for $1.
$1.
You can get just the giant Cheez-It.
And what all? Oh, just the Cheez-It itself.
Yeah. So if you want a 10 by 10 Cheez-It or whatever it is, you can now get them for just $1. And then they have the Crunchwrap, which is two of those Cheez-Its.
Yeah.
And then in between them, you have your typical Crunchwrap stuff.
Now, is this the residue leaving Cheez-It on your fingers when you eat the thing?
That, I think, is going to be a Cheeto.
Oh, so the Cheez-It and the Cheeto are two. They're very similar.
Yes.
They're like the same genus, but a different species.
A Cheeto is more like a cracker, right? It's the small square cracker.
Yeah.
And okay. a Cheeto is like
You were saying Cheeto or Cheez-It, and I was thinking Cheeto.
Yeah. So this is
how communication problems. This is things that destroy marriages.
What do we have here?
You know, she's out there talking about the Cheez-It, and I'm here thinking about a Cheeto, and we're not communicating. Mm-hmm.
As Garfield said, what we have here is a failure to communicate.
Exactly right. Go ahead.
And then the big Cheez-It tostada uses the jumbo cracker instead of a crispy tostada, and it's topped with beef, lettuce, tomatoes, and sour cream.
Ooh. Beef, lettuce, tomatoes, sour cream.
I love Cheez-Its, so I mean, I try it. I haven't tried it yet, but I would.
Yeah, the Cheez-It's an interesting little cracker.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like them.
Yeah, nice. Okay, what else you got out there?
Well, so Wingstop, did you ever go to Wingstop?
Never have.
I recommend it because they've got some really great deals.
Yeah?
Pretty much all the time. Like, they have I think it's 20 boneless wings.
Boneless wings.
And you can spread it across four different sauce types.
Mm-hmm.
With a big old giant, big, just heaping pile of fries on top.
Ooh.
And that'll only run you like $18 at most Wingstop.
And how many people will that feed?
That will feed at least Sue.
Yeah. All right.
At least me and my wife. And hey, let me tell you what, feeding me is not always the easiest thing.
Wingstop, huh? Do they have those in St. Louis? I guess
all over the place. Oh, yeah.
I don't think I've ever seen one. Huh.
I like the one, what is that? Where the Olive Garden is, 70 and 270, I guess. Yeah. That's a good one over there. They have now a buy one, get one free chicken sandwich deal and $0 delivery fee for this weekend.
Nice for Wingstop.
Yeah. So, if you go on, their app or wingstop.com, of course, everyone has the Wingstop app. So, I mean, but it's pretty much your main app that you use.
Didn't even know it existed.
It's an everyday use app, of course.
Huh.
So you open it and, stack two sandwiches in your cart and use the promo code BOGOSAMMY, of course, goes without saying. Of course, it's going to be BOGOSAMMY.
Wow. BOGO, of course, standing for buy one, get one.
Is that right? I don't know if I ever put that together.
Really?
No, I'm kidding.
Oh. I didn't say, educating. Okay, go ahead.
Krispy Kreme bringing back their pumpkin spice original glazed donut for,
you know, I've had it with all this pumpkin stuff. I mean, I'm just going to say
it. You don't like the pumpkin spice?
They put it in everything.
Yeah, I'm not crazy about the pumpkin flavoring either.
No, and they ruined perfectly good other things with pumpkin.
Now, you can still get the regular donut,
mind you. Yeah, but they try and force this pumpkin. It's a deep state.
But they really try to push the did you say deep state?
It's a deep state. Putting pumpkin and everything. I mean, it's ridiculous. Go ahead, Andrew.
3 days only this weekend. Let's see. And to further sweeten the weekend, You can get an original glazed dozen donuts for $2 with the purchase of any dozen at regular price.
Now, that's nice. Nothing like a good donut.
And, hey, if you go on the website or the app, of course, the Krispy Kreme's app, and you type in BOGO 2.
There it is. Man.
It's just a BOGO day.
It is. That's pretty awesome. That's a lot of fast food stuff going on out there.
There is. We got time for one more?
We got time for one more.
So, obviously, you are a big T-Pain fan. Huge fan of the rapper turned singer T-Pain.
No. I don't know that I've ever heard of T-Pain.
Well, I'm a big fan of T-Pain. T-Pain's fans are generally people that are exactly my age.
Okay.
Any younger than me are too young. Any older than me are too old. But he has partnered with Checkers/Rallies.
Oh, yeah.
Rallies,
yeah,
as we know it around here. For a $5 meal. It's the $5 T-Pain for real meal.
What's in a T-Pain meal?
It is a classic rally burger, mm-hmm, or the new barbecue spicy chicken sandwich,
mm-hmm,
which the spicy chicken sandwiches are rallies. They're not bad.
Okay.
Small fries, 16-ounce soda, and an 8-piece barbecue chicken bite.
Fascinating. All that for $5.
All for $5. Rallies has long been a pioneer in the $5 fast food space.
Well, there it is.
Yeah, I will be the first to tell you. They have had, for a very long time, generous meal deals.
You will not find in your perusal of the radio dial throughout St. Louis anyone who knows fast food better than our own lovely Andrew. Andrew?
That's my one claim to fame.
Thank you so much for that. When we come back, week 3 of the NFL season is about to commence. Well, I guess it commenced last night, actually. But it's about to get going over the weekend. Our NFL insider from Chicago, Illinois, is going to join us next on KMOX.
The snow streamed down to the glistening lights on a densely cold, bitterly cold day at Lambeau Field. On that gridiron stood a frozen Bart Starr. As he dropped back, squinting through the haze, he looked for the trusted hands of Boyd Dowler. On this day, Dowler would make the catch and rumble 38 yards to glory. Just another unforgettable moment in the National Football League.
And joining us now to talk about the National Football League, our NFL insider from Chicago, Illinois, none other than John Hancock. How's it going, John?
Going well, as always. Happy to be here.
What'd you think about Aaron Rodgers' performance last night?
Yeah, it looked like he turned back the clock a little bit. He was distributing the football very well to all of his receivers. They finally got Garrett Wilson going in the passing game. The Patriots, you know, I think they may be a tomato can this year, but still it was an impressive performance nonetheless.
Yeah, you know, the Patriots got off to a pretty good start, and even last week, though they lost, they didn't look that bad. They're overperforming expectations. I'll tell you who I think is really overperforming expectations, and man, I didn't see this coming with the quarterback they have, but I'm talking about the New Orleans Saints. They're a shocker so far.
Yeah, how about that? I mean, they beat Carolina in week one, and a lot of people just wrote that off as Carolina being maybe the worst team in NFL history. But then they go out there against the Dallas Cowboys and absolutely wallop them. Derek Carr is leading the league in passing statistics across the board. It's been a phenomenal start for New Orleans, and they have a big test coming up against the Philadelphia Eagles. And we'll see if they're able to keep it rolling.
Yeah, the Eagles are an interesting club, too. What are they, 1-1, right? So they're a team that, you know, most people, I think, pick the Cowboys to win that NFC East Division. But, you know, the Eagles, are they for real? I think the coach might be on the hot seat.
I think he is. I mean, they ended last season so poorly on a terrible losing streak, and the Eagles find more ways to lose games when they're winning at the two-minute warning than anyone else, and they did it again this past Monday night against Kirk Cousins and the Falcons.
Now, I know for years you were not a fan of Baker Mayfield. In fact, I think you may have referred to him as a fraud. He's looking pretty good this year, big boy.
Yeah, so if you recall, I used to call him the biggest fraud in the league, and I was proven right for many years. And then this past offseason, I was willing to take a step back, and Baker Mayfield got humbled. He's not the same arrogant guy who was out there, you know, frolicking about the field. He got humbled, and now, you know, I'm not saying I'm rooting for him, but he's beat the fraud label, and he's a competent quarterback, and he's got the Buccaneers 2-0.
Yeah, he does. Is there a fraud in the league this year?
So in my previous Hancock and Kelly appearance, I did say that that title had shifted now to Trevor Lawrence. A lot of people call him a prince.
Yeah.
It looks more like a pauper to me.
Really? I think he had a pretty good year, though. I mean, last year.
I know. He ended weakly, and they say it was because he was injured. But, you know, that's a very convenient excuse. To lose the AFC South in that division last year, to get upstaged by C.J. Stroud, who is looking like the real deal. But Trevor Lawrence has his team 0-2, and I think he's going to be under a magnifying glass this year.
Okay, give me your upset pick of the week.
Upset pick of the week. So this one, I think the Los Angeles Rams, they're hosting the San Francisco 49ers. They're definitely the underdog, and I think they have a chance to win that game outright. The 49ers, Christian McCaffrey is hurt. Debo Samuel is hurt. And now George Kittle, the star tight end, missed practice this past Thursday. So we're going to see how Brock Purdy
handle it. He's picking the Rams, folks.
I don't like it. You know, I don't want anything good to happen to any Stan Kroenke franchise, but that's how I see it.
That's how he sees it. He's our NFL insider, John Hancock. Thanks so much for joining us. When we come back, it's Dave Murray time. We're going to get a look at that forecast for this weekend, the last weekend of summer. Andrew, you've done a magnificent job on the bumper music today.
Thank you, John. I thought you'd like it.
Thank you for that. Well, it's that time of the day, ladies and gentlemen, where we check in with the man that my wife calls simply the king. She's called him the king for the entirety of our married life, which is a little bit insecure for me. But king
makes me feel good.
Yeah, buddy. So this is the last weekend of the summer, king, huh? What's going on?
It is, yeah. Saturday is the last full day of summer. Fall officially begins Sunday morning at 7:23 in the morning. It's going to feel like summer again tomorrow. It's going to feel a little more like fall on Sunday. But boy, do we have a fall week coming up. It's going to be a really great week on the way once we get past Monday. Leading into that, we've got a couple of things going on. Slow motion in the atmosphere. We have a cool front slowly dropping in from the northwest. We also have a low pressure system in the southwest that will slowly kick our way. So we've got some unsettled weather for the weekend. It's not a total washout, but it's not a great weekend, especially when it is raining. Saturday, kind of a changeable sky. I think there'll be a couple of showers, maybe a rumble of thunder, but it's not going to be anywhere near an all-day rain. But 90 degrees for the high. Saturday evening is fine. Dry in the 80s. Another bigger batch of showers and thunderstorms moving in probably after about 3 o'clock in the morning, Sunday morning. Periods of rain and thunderstorms on Sunday, especially in the morning. I think we have a good shot of some heavy rain in the morning, but the ground is bone dry, so it should be able to handle it. The afternoon, we could actually get a little break in the afternoon, 84 degrees, more showers and thunderstorms scattered about Sunday night. Monday, a lot of clouds. That's the dominant feature with a couple of scattered showers in the 70s, 75 on Monday, and we're in the 70s Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, probably even Saturday and Sunday for the Evolution Festival coming in next weekend. So I just want everybody to kind of pay attention to the sky. It's not a severe weather outbreak, though there will be some thunderstorms around. There's going to be some really wet times, and the focus for me is Sunday morning, maybe Sunday early afternoon.
Well, there you go. That's not all bad. We need the rain.
We do. We really do need the rain. Also, just to put it on the table, it looks like the tropics of the Gulf of Mexico are really going to come alive in about the next week or so. So anybody who's traveling to the Gulf of Mexico, especially the panhandle of Florida, let's really pay attention to the weather.
Boy, that's good. That's good info. The last time you and I talked, Dave Murray, I think you and Janice were taking sailing lessons. Am I remembering?
It's on the docket. We have not started that yet. We have not started that. You know, Janice has got some back problems,
right?
So she's a little concerned about that. But it's not off the table by any means.
All right, good. Because where would you sail?
In the Pacific Ocean.
Is that right? Oh, lovely. Yeah. Lovely. It's that's the one over there by California.
That is. It's the one on the left coast.
You can't slip that one past me, Dave Murray. I couldn't find the Charles Knight Center the other day, but I know where the Pacific Ocean is.
All I can really say about California is that the weather is fantastic. Now, that's about the only good thing I can say.
No, that's right. Now, when you did the national gig, that was in New York, right?
That was in New York, yes.
And you guys moved to New York?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we moved actually to Greenwich, Connecticut, is where we lived.
Oh, that's a lovely community.
Yes, I love it. And then I commuted in every day.
Yeah, but you didn't like that, right?
No. I knew within the first 2 months that, okay, we're here for 3 years. But it wasn't, there was no forecasting challenge. Getting up at 1 a.m, that's the biggest challenge of the job.
Oh, my.
But you know what? They paid me well and got to meet a lot of people and kind of propelled me to the rest of my career.
Yeah, and you were at Channel 2 here for, gosh, how many years?
Well, from 1989, we came back until 2018.
Yep, 1990 is when I got married. That's about the time you adopted the nickname The King.
That's when I became king.
Yeah, over my place. So do you still have the same passion for the weather that you always
have? Yes, absolutely. Yeah. Yep. Yeah, I still, I'm retired from television. Obviously, I do a couple of radio stations.
Yeah.
I do our little community radio station here in Laguna Beach, do private consulting on forecast for specialty events like the Evolution Festival coming up. I'll be in town for that. And, so little things that pop up that keep your mind going. And that's what I'm looking for. I'm just not looking for, the 12 to 13, 14 hour day thing.
Georgianne took me to Laguna Niguel for my 50th birthday and stayed at the Ritz right there.
Long time ago.
Yeah. Tell me about it, buddy. Tell me about it. But what a absolutely magnificent part of the country that is. I mean,
yeah, it really is. Oh. It's tough to beat again as far as the climate is concerned. It's really enjoyable, and the ocean's beautiful. And I mean, there's a lot of problems in California,
of course.
But there's problems everywhere.
Have you made it up to the Reagan Library yet?
I'm not. That is on the list.
Oh, you got to do it, buddy. I even enjoyed the Nixon Library, which is interesting. In the Nixon Library, you walk in, and, the great thing about history is they don't hide anything. I mean, he said some really awful things. Going after people, and it's all there. And at his library, you can listen to all of it. And he's got an exact replica of the East Room in the White House, which is really kind of cool to walk, because that's a big, the East Room's big. You would enjoy both of those, the two of you.
Are the missing 18 minutes in the Nixon Library?
They're there, but you can't hear them because they're gone.
Can't hear them.
Yeah, that was the secretary.
Just quiet.
Rosemary, what was her name, the secretary? Let's go to the archives here, Andrew. Is Rosemary something or other that erased the tape? She just passed away not too long ago.
No, Woods.
Yeah, Rosemary Woods. That's exactly right. All right, well, Dave Murray, you have given us a forecast in which we can all be delighted, even with the rain. We need the rain.
Need the rain.
Thank you so much, sir. Have yourself a magnificent rest of the day and the weekend as well.
You too, guys.
All right, that's Dave Murray with our forecast. Well, we've got a lot of headlines out there. There's a lot of news happening, Andrew.
Yes, we do.
There's a lot of news. So Andrew's been pouring through all of the news reports over there, because he's the best in the business. And we're going to get into that in this last segment of the 3 o'clock hour on the DGS on the Voice of St. Louis, KMOX. Welcome back to the DGS. John Hancock in for Dave Glover. He's back on Monday for all of you who care, and all of you do care. Done the best I could today. That's all I can do.
You did great. Been a good show.
We got some headlines there, Andrew.
We do. Now it all goes in the tank.
Okay, let's do it.
Now it's turned over to me. Now it becomes a bad
show. I love turning it over to you.
Top story here. Study claims the United States has the worst healthcare system in the whole world. Healthcare system is the worst in a new analysis of 10 similar nations, looking at 70 healthcare systems, including Australia, Canada, United Kingdom, and the U.S., we came in last place overall, in part because it earned 10th place in spots in both accessibility and healthcare outcomes. So, you know, we don't save as many as we maybe could.
Is that right?
As well as low rankings in administrative efficiency and equity. Now, I think that's a little easier to believe. And then, of course, affordability.
Who's done this study?
This study is done by...
somebody.
An analysis. I cut out the part with who did the study because I thought that seemed...
some America-hating organization.
I thought that seemed boring.
So, you know, I think... Now, I agree on the accessibility. That's always an issue in this country. And, you know, folks get care. If you show up at the emergency room, you're going to get care if you don't have insurance. But if you've got insurance and you've got a condition, I would rather be treated for something serious in this country as opposed to any of those other nations. So, but anyway, that's an interesting little headline. What else you got there,
The Netherlands, the United Kingdom, and Germany were ranked first, second, and third, respectively, if you were... anybody was wondering about that. The FTC is going after social media platforms for their quote-unquote vast surveillance of users.
Ooh, okay.
A new report from the FTC found that major platforms collect massive amounts of data on their user bases, including children and teenagers. And then they, of course, monetize that data to the tune of billions a year.
Yeah, that's how they make that's how they make a good chunk of their money.
It is, and I think the FTC is finally, after you know years and years and years of this, they're finally ready to step in and say we need to do something about this because you're selling data to who knows where, who's using it for
well,
who knows
and
what.
I'll tell you what, man. I've seen it in the political arena where I work. The amount of information you can get on voters is scary. I mean, it's extremely detailed. In the old days, you know, you just have to buy magazine subscription lists and kind of figure out, okay, they've got the hunting
and that's
magazine.
It, right? Like, you can buy from, like, these companies, right? You can buy voter info
a
from
lot.
Facebook
yeah.
or Twitter.
A lot.
Or
there's so much data out there, and it's the use of it has gotten more and more refined and specialized over time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think the TikTok thing has really put it in a bit of a magnifying glass
people,
right
yes,
now, right?
That's exactly
They're
right.
They're kind of under the microscope because now the FTC is like, all right, so we think that TikTok is selling information to China. Who are you guys selling things to? You know
right.
what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And they're going to be loath to disclose that information unless they're forced to.
Yeah, the TikTok thing, I mean... it has real national security implications.
It does.
And I know lots of people use the platform, and I don't know how the legal case is going to resolve, but there's no question. And what the interesting part of that case is that you got the free speech side, and then you got the national security side, and they really are in conflict here. Mm-hmm. It's going to be fascinating to see how that gets resolved.
I'm looking forward to it. I'm super interested in
yeah.
it. The Nike CEO, John Donahoe, has abruptly retired because the company has not been doing very well under his watch, I think. He had been on the job since 2020. Its stock price has dropped by more than half since the end of 2021. And the company laid off 700 people.
Wow, Nike. They were the pinnacle of the shoe business there for decades.
They were the pinnacle, but this guy couldn't get a handle on it.
I'll tell you, you know, the people complain about how much money CEOs make, and they make a lot of money. But good ones are worth it.
Yeah.
They really do make a difference.
Sounds like this one might not have been one of the good ones.
Yeah. See you bye.
This is an interesting story. Magazine reporter put on leave over her relationship with RFK Jr. Have you seen this?
No.
Olivia Nuzzi from the New York Magazine, well-known reporter.
Yeah.
She began a relationship with RFK Jr. shortly after she published a profile of him last year. Sounds like it started from 2023 through last month. And
Are we talking relationship? Like friends, or are we talking something
she
more?
She says the relationship was personal but not physical. The reporting suggests otherwise.
Mm. Interesting. Because he's married.
He is married to Cheryl Hines, the actress from Curb Your Enthusiasm and many others. So that's a little bit, it's weird to imagine, weird to think about that, but also very interesting because she's been a controversial reporter in the past.
Oh, she has, yeah.
Various things, so interesting to see.
That's fascinating.
What's happened to her?
Olivia Nuzzi.
And I think that would probably have to do it.
We got all the big headlines.
We got all the big ones.
All right. Well, I appreciate that. We've got 1 hour left, and Bernie Miklas is going to join us next hour. We'll talk sports for sure. But I want to get a little perspective on Bernie's career. I know he covered the Baltimore Colts back in the day. And, of course, I think he was here while the St. Louis Cardinals were still here. And of course, then the Rams. He was a football guy, then became a columnist he was must-read, you know, and a lot of times controversial in the sports realm. But Bernie's going to join us next hour for a couple of segments. And then, we'll take you back home. And when the news is coming up next on The Voice of St. Louis, KMLX.